what it is. See if I can speak about Radharani in 20 minutes. And see the, you know, the, and it's almost something like Ernest Hemingway said. He wrote someone a letter and he said, "I'm sorry it's so long, but I didn't have enough time." It almost seems like a paradox. The longer you take, you know, the more time you have, the longer the letter will be. But his point was, is the more you gain your frame of reference, the more expertise you have, etc., you can say the same thing in less words. And I really saw that. But anyway, let me go on about Radharani. And of course, it's such a main part of our whole philosophy, because actually Radharani is the Purna Shakti, potency. And ultimately there's only two things that exist. It's just like there's nine main principles of devotional service, but there's 64, but the 64 expansions of the nine. So the two most fundamental principles of reality are Radha and Krishna. And in Sanskrit, that's called Shakti and Shaktiman. Shakti is potency. Shaktiman is possessor of potency, and Shakti is potency. And it's the most fundamental principle, especially of Krishna conscious philosophy. And Shakti is energy, and energy means what? Energy means to serve, right? There's Jnana Shakti, there's knowledge potency, there's Bala Shakti, there's strength potency, there's Kriya Shakti, there's sensual potency. But what is energy? Energy is to serve. And then the ultimate principle that energy that serves, it has its own volition and consciousness. And when energy that's serving has its own volition and consciousness, it's called love. And that's the ultimate service. The ultimate service is not just to please someone, but to love them. Please them with the intention of pleasing them. You can hire a cook and they can cook for you. And it may be very tasty, but the same preparation made by someone who does it with love, it's so much more delectable because it's satisfying the heart. So this is a very wonderful conception of reality. That the reality is an exchange of love, rasa vai saha, that ultimate reality is this exchange of love. And that's exactly what Vyasadeva saw when he went into meditation. Vyasadeva saw reality. And by the process of bhakti yoga, of devotion, devotion is the best process of seeing reality, because devotion inspires reality to reciprocate by revealing its own nature. So, Vyasadeva saw Mayachitad Apasram. He saw God and God's energies, and God's energies under the shelter of God. But he actually saw the internal potency of God and the exchange. And that's the ultimate reality, that God is exchanging with his energies in rasa, or love. So Radha is that complete Shakti, and that complete Shakti is love. And that's the principle of pleasure. If there's a supreme absolute reality, then it makes sense that the principle is pleasure. It makes sense, at least from our perspective. And our perspective is what? That everything moves for pleasure, and pleasure is found in relationship. So in the ultimate reality, there's relationship. So there's God, and God's expansion for that relationship and that sweetness. And the perfection of our life is to somehow or other participate in that reality. And we can see that that's our hankering. If you really sincerely think in your heart, what is the one thing that could make you happy? And if you had that choice, what's the one thing that can make you happy? It's to experience unlimited love, which means you have an object of love who you have a relationship with, a loving relationship, fully. If you really sincerely think about it, that's what we're searching, and when we're unhappy, it's because we don't have that fully. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. It's getting that love. I got a beautiful letter today by husband and wife in their early 30s, and they to Krishna consciousness, very nice people. And they asked for some sadhana. So I explained to them that you should chant the holy name of God. You can chant, you should try to chant all the time, but you should make a minimum amount that you can do with enthusiasm. And generally people take 2 or 3 or 4 rounds. And I got a letter from the lady, and she said that, you know, somehow or other she had an experience of chanting that inspired her, some kind of mercy. And she said, now the Tulsi is soft, and my heart has become soft, and the prayers are flowing. And the prayers, so I thought, well, this is wonderful to hear that. The Tulsi is soft, my heart is soft, and the prayers are flowing. That's what everyone's looking for. They're looking for that type of love. I know, as I'm in the world, but it doesn't matter where you are, people may be practicing yoga. What they want is they want some transformation. But what kind of transformation? Transformation means transformation of heart. And that's why bhakti and Radharani are so attractive. Because it's exactly what people are looking for. They're looking for perfect love. In the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains that, you know, everyone's trying to satisfy the loving propensity, but they want it satisfied to the greatest extent. You have to repose that love so one is satisfied. The answer is Krishna. In the ultimate reality, in the ultimate exchange of love, and the ultimate exchange of love is the Purna Shakti, the Srimati Radharani. And she's most attractive. Because what is attractiveness? It's love. And it's a person whose heart embodies that love fully. So Radharani has the full capacity to love. And we serve and worship her in our tradition because that's the conduit actually to bring that love to our own hearts. Of course, when you have, and she has the full capacity to please Krishna. And it's a very, very wonderful thing It's a very, very wonderful thing. And in our tradition, that becomes most prominent. To serve one who's most filled with love, who's composed of love. There can be nothing more beautiful than that. And therefore, even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that the only reason why we worship Krishna is because Radharani loves her so much. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when he was asked, where would he do his bhajan? He got a choice of any place he wanted. Where would he do his bhajan? He said, Kurukshetra. Now, why Kurukshetra? Why Kurukshetra? Where Rasa, Rasika Vaishnavas. Why Kurukshetra? It's just Bhagavad Gita. But actually, Kurukshetra also means Brahma Sarovara. As far as I can see, it's probably the most beautiful lake I've ever seen, crystal clear, beautiful. Brahma Sarovara, where Krishna met, Radharani met Krishna after 96 years in that separation. When she saw him in the dress of a king, surrounded by his retinue, surrounded by his followers, and therefore Krishna, to satisfy that relationship, had to become distant, a little distant in that relationship, and couldn't reveal the full sweetness of his personality. Radharani was in distress. She was in separation from Krishna. And she wanted to go to Vrindavan. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, I would want to be in Kurukshetra because I am Radhika Dasya, I am the servant of Radharani, and that's her greatest moment of me. So Radharani is the full capacity for love. And because she has the full capacity of love, she manifests Krishna most fully. Because a person reveals himself in love. And the greater the love, the greater the person reveals. So Krishna is most beautiful in relationship to Srimati Radharani. And she has that wonderful mood of service. Her consciousness is love, which means how Krishna can be pleased. And she has that to the most intense degree. And therefore, she is happiness personified, because love is happiness. That's pleasure. Pleasure is a condition of the heart. And the heart is most happy when it's selfless and pure. And that spirit of love is flowing from one's heart. Radharani has that capacity to the fullest extent. And therefore, she wants to please. And when you want to please someone, you make things very, very beautiful for them. Because one way to please someone, to show your love, is to please their senses. So if you want to please someone by singing, obviously you try to make your singing the sweetest. If you want to please someone by beauty, then you try to make yourself the most beautiful. And that represents your love. Radharani, for example, is a scholar in the art of bhajan making. Just think about it. How much love one can express by offering someone a garland. And the more beautiful that garland is, especially if you made it, the more that person will feel love. And I just remember a particular... One second. Excuse me. I'll be back in a second. true. I told that story, and where Prabhupada was outside his room, and the devotees offered him a garland. And there's a particular white flower in Vrindavan that's very cheap. You can get it very, very easy. And bushes produce thousands of them. They're very beautiful, but they have no fragrance. And they made a garland by stringing together just the stems of those flowers, or they bought one, and the edges, they were a little old, it was wilted. The Prabhupada saw the garland, and he thought, these disciples need to be trained. Because this is not love. And I'm to train them in love. This is not love. So he actually brought the disciples in and taught them how to make flower garlands. He brought the ladies in. And you know, so imagine, you know, I don't know if some of you have seen when someone can really make the most exquisite flower garland. Radharani's a scholar. So you can imagine what her flower garland looks like. Just imagine. Imagine that flower garland that Radharani makes, how fragrant it is, how beautiful. Envision in your mind what it looks like. And that flower garland is Radharani. It's an expansion of love. It's not different than her. Because that flower garland is what? It's communicating, I want to please you. I love you. The flower garland that's wilted doesn't communicate that. Or the flower garland that may be bought, if it's made personally, with that intention, then it becomes that love. And in Radharani, for us, there may be some distinction. It's an expression of our love. But that actually is Radharani. Imagine that garland. Imagine assisting Radharani making that garland. Imagine how much love there'll be, how much happiness there'll be. And that type of love, what's the highest pleasure? It's Bhav, Mahabhav. Radharani is Mahabhav Sarup. She's the highest devotion, the manifestation of the highest devotion. Imagine how much pleasure there is in pleasing Krishna, because it's his own pleasure potency. It's manifest. And the essence is Radharani, how Krishna can be pleased. The flower garland is so beautiful. And therefore, to follow in that footsteps and to serve is the ultimate pleasure. Radharani is the best cook. When Radharani comes every day from Jawit, she lives with her in-laws 6 months, and 6 months she gets to go stay with her parents. And she walks that path to Nandagram. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe. And she comes to Nandagram and sees Yasoda, and she takes off her alankar, her gold, her bangles, her jewels. But what are jewels? Her jewels are for the pleasure of Krishna. That's all she cares about. So her jewels say to Krishna, I love you. Say to Krishna, I want to please you. And that's what Radharani is. It's that energy that pervades the universe. It's manifest. It has a sarup. It has a form. And that form is, I want to please. And because it's the potency of God, it has the pleasure to please. So Radharani is the embodiment of love and beauty to please Krishna. So Radharani takes off of her alankar and she goes into the kitchen, and there are 100 chulis, these clay stoves, and Radharani and Rohini, the head cook, she has everything set up around each fire with assistants. Radharani sits on a platform and she directs. Just out of love. Love is teacher. If you want to please, you do things nicely. That's why the best mother is not a scholar of motherhood. It's a lover of child. And the lover of child makes the expertise. So her love of Krishna makes this expertise. Out of love, she goes to a preparation and she puts a little spice in her hand, shakes off a little bit and puts it in, and it's the exact right amount. And then the vegetables, and she stirs, and she, and so many preparations are being made. And the preparations are a direct expansion of Radharani's love. So imagine when that plate comes off and is brought into Krishna. How much love is in those preparations? And therefore, what those preparations look like. I'm trying to remember, and you know, it's amazing when you taste a perfect preparation. I remember I was in South India and someone brought me to this temple out of Hyderabad 2-3 hours, and there was some rice and it was kind of pushpana, you know, with different flavors, and it even had crystallized sugar in it and different, you know. So I was imagining what Radharani's cooking is and how much Krishna enjoys it. How much he's experiencing Radharani's love by that cooking. So Radharani is the full manifestation of that love. And it's very, very powerful, that love. And Radharani's fragrance. What is Radharani's fragrance like? Because what is her fragrance? She has fragrance to offer to Krishna. So her fragrance is love. And when Krishna smells Radharani, he smells her desire to please him. And it's so fragrant because it's the Purna Shakti. It has the full capacity to please. So it's the full manifestation of love, and therefore it's the full manifestation of beauty. What is it? Her fragrance. Radharani can be hiding in a forest of magnolias, Stella Cumulans, land lotuses, magnolias. I once was in Italy. I was very, very ill. And when after not being able to eat for 10 days, the devotees brought me some fruit. And one, I don't know, I think it really is a special country for food. One orange, I could smell the flavor, the whole room. And I was so ready for it. The whole room, one flower, magnolia. It's a forest of magnolia flowers. And Krishna walked by and said, I smell Radharani. It tries to give that example of what pleasure is. Because it's an expression of love, and Radharani's luster, her color, how it shines. In Ujjvala Nilamani it says, the luster of Radharani's body puts gold in a painful situation. So Radharani has that full capacity to please Krishna. And one becomes controlled by that which one is attached to. That's just a fact. What gives you pleasure controls you. Therefore, in the previous days, if the Brahmins were not detached, they can be controlled. The king would like to control the Brahmins. He likes to control everyone. He doesn't want anybody to criticize. But as long as someone's attached, because the king has power, he can control them. If you say the wrong thing, I'll throw you in jail. I'll take away your money. I'll demote you. Or say the right thing to please me and you'll get a promotion. So people are very much controlled by their pleasures and attachments. But if someone is detached, he can speak the truth. And therefore, to be a real Brahmin, you have to be detached. Otherwise, you can't do your service. Brahmins have to speak on behalf of God. You can't do that if you're attached. You can't speak up. I see that in different circumstances in my life. Who speaks up? Only a person who's detached. Doesn't care what his reputation is. Doesn't care what people think. What he cares about is the truth. It's very, very, very rare. So, Radharani, her 25th quality is she always keeps Krishna under her control. She always keeps Krishna under her control. Why? Because Krishna is attached. So attached. Full capacity. Ramananda Sambhad is a very wonderful book. It's the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy, who's Siksha Guru of Lord Chaitanya, to teach him about Radharani. Lord Chaitanya asks, give me a verse that exemplifies the topmost conception in the scriptures, the top verse, meaning. And then he describes Nipaniye Hum, that when Krishna speaks to the gopis, he said, because of your love for me, there's no way I can repay you. Because there's nothing greater than love, and there's no love greater than the love of the gopis. Krishna loves, but his love is for everyone. The gopis' love is exclusive. There's no way I can repay you. You'll have to be satisfied by the love itself. Krishna says, I spoke in Bhagavad Gita, yayatam mam papajante, that everyone surrenders to me, I reward accordingly. But I can't fulfill, I can't reciprocate. Your love is so great. But then what to speak of Krishna's love, that without Radharani, Krishna can't enjoy the rasa dance, even though among hundreds of qualified gopis, she has the full capacity. And therefore, it's so nice in Vrindavan, that mood. Everyone loves Radharani. Jai Radhe. And there's so many nice songs to express that the qualities of Radharani and Radharani's love and how powerful it is. We know that Krishna is known as Nidan Mohan. He bewilders Cupid. But Radharani is Nidan Mohan Mohini. Sri, the bewilderer of the bewilderer of Cupid, her power, her ruling power, is even more than Krishna's. So, Aniyara Dito Nunam Bhagavan Ishvara Hari. There is none other, in the Bhagavatam it mentions, there is none other that has worshipped or pleased Krishna so much. that when she leaves the rasa dance, then Krishna has to go seek her. She's special because she's the full manifestation of that love. Other than the gopis, even the astaka sakis, the eight main gopis, they're expansions of particular aspects of Radharani, like Tunga Vidya, the potency for music, what her music must be like. And Chitradevi, painting, in different moods, Lalita, Vishaka. But the full capacity is there in Radharani. And therefore Krishna is so attached to Radharani. And therefore, to achieve our goal, and really our goal is only about transformation of heart. Money can't buy happiness. Happiness is in the heart. Real spiritual life is this transformation of the heart. And therefore, in our line, we follow in the line of Srimati Radharani. We serve her, we pray to Radharani, because we may be fortunate. By that service, her love may come to the heart. And even Krishna says, the happiness I feel in meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others. Sri Radharani is the beloved consort of Krishna. She is the wealth of Krishna's life. And therefore in Vrindavan, every branch of every tree is saying Radhe, Radhe. That's what Vrindavan is. Radhe, Radhe is what? Krishna crying in separation. Krishna, Krishna. That's one way that Raghunath Das Goswami, he looks at the Maha Mantra. He said, it means begging for service, but it also, it has other ways of looking at the Maha Mantra, that Hare Krishna is Radha and Krishna in union. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare is Radha and Krishna in separation. Krishna, Krishna is the heart of Radha. She's calling for Krishna. And Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And Hare Hare is Krishna saying, O Radha, O Radha. So on Thursday, if any of you are in New York City, I'm going to go to the C.C. Radha Damodar Mandir on Broome Street. Radharani is the symbol of the topmost bhakti, and she's so powerful that she purchased Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnavas take shelter in the lotus feet of Radharani, for she recommends, oh, here is a nice devotee. Krishna must accept, because Krishna is controlled by the will of his devotees, and Radharani has the full capacity to love, so therefore she has her 25th quality of Radharani. She always keeps Krishna under control. Prabhupada said we should be more interested in worshiping Radharani, for however fallen we may be, if somehow or other we can please her, we can easily understand Krishna. In the Madhya Lila it says, Lord Krishna's desire, the Rasa Lila, is perfectly complete. The Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The rasa dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani, Krishna says. Therefore, he gave up the circle of the rasa dance and went out to search for her. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied, even in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani, we can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified she is. The potency called Ladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure. when Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness, although he is happiness personified. The pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifested by his pleasure potency. Lord Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness. Anyway, I forgot what those quotes, some of those quotes were for. Even Lord Krishna himself cannot reach the limit of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. How then can an insignificant living entity count them? Okay, for today I'm going to stop there. That's what I was going to say in the car. I got to say, would anybody like to ask a question or make a comment?
Maharaj?
Yes.
Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
Thanks for another really inspiring class. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
If there's time, I have a couple, but...
good, please.
But the first one is, there's that really famous and beautiful verse, which is... in the beginning chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Krishna Eka Atma Dui Deha Dari Anyane Vilasa Rasa Aswatana Kari, that Radha and Krishna were originally one, but they became to enjoy rasa.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to understand what the originally means there, because usually we mean originally in the sense of time, like they were one at some point in history, but they just became two. But
do
Do you think here originally would mean that in some kind of existential way, like in terms of metaphysics, they are one, and yet they are two, they're always two in one sense as well, because that way they can enjoy love. Anyway, that was my question.
Well, I think it's just when they say that Krishna is the original form of Godhead. So when we understand that within time, it means that when he was that Godhead or something, there was no Narayan, there was no Nisringa, but there are parts of him. So you can't look at the term original in a temporal way, because if you look at it in a temporal way, then you're somehow putting time above God.
Mm.
You know, and God is beyond time. Even the yogi, they say, can go beyond time. We don't even have a concept of what's beyond time. We can't conceive that God's beyond time. We look at time, we experience time as absolute. We can't, is it a fact that we can go back in the past? That seems impossible to us. Right? But God is beyond time. So he has access to all aspects of time, and it describes, even great yogis do. So I think it's kind of like what Bhakti Thakur said when they try to describe, you know, when the living entity came into the material world. You know, he said you can't explain it by the dirt of words. You know, and you got to explain it for people's understanding. What, we're always here ever, eternally? Well, someone's got to be here always eternally, because that's part of God's energy, right? The material energy doesn't exist without the jiva's condition. So they're nityabhata. They must always be conditioned. We can't understand that either. So, you know, it's just a question of humility in one sense, that God is beyond our conception to a certain extent. It's beyond our conception because he's beyond time. We have no frame of reference, but it doesn't make sense that God's within time, because then there's something that's greater than God. So I would say original, again, it means it's just a way for us to understand that Radha and Krishna are not separate. That's what it really means, that they're not separate. You can't have the... you know, the musk without the scent. it's part of it, but you say the scent comes from the musk. But without, you know, it's like the sun and the sun rays. The sun rays are coming from the sun. But as soon as there's no sunrise, there's no sun. But so even in the mundane example, we have a concept of something being original and something emanating from it, but at the same sense, they have to exist simultaneously. So even in the mundane example, we have that. The scent and the flower. But the scent comes from the flower. Does it come from the flower, or is it the flower? It's both. So Radha Krishna is reality, they're one, and Radharani is also manifest from Krishna, because she's the Shakti or potency.
Okay, thank you. In one sense, I mean, gosh, it's really a thing, as you were just noting, that even in the ordinary world, it's hard to discriminate between a thing and the properties it has. Because if you take away all the properties, there's really nothing left. Anyway, I was just tripping out a bit on it. We could talk about
that. No. What's different?
I was thinking that Ramanuja basically explains it like this, too, that the jivas in the world are, he calls them prakaras of God. Prakara can mean a property, a way in which something is experienced. And it seems to me that what Srila Jiva Goswami did is he took a model kind of like that, but by using the notion of Shakti, he made it a bit richer, where these kind of properties of God or these energies of God, unlike normal properties which are just things or whatever, they can have a full personal life of their own. So that's the weird thing, right? Like an apple's redness doesn't think, but and yet God's properties or God's Shaktis can be fully flourishing individuals. You know what I mean? Who are themselves bearers of other properties. Anyway, sorry. I'm just trying to think through this. I'm sorry. But anyway, you helped me understand that quite well. I appreciate it.
I guess, I forgot who, one Jewish mother came to Govardhan. I forgot who it was. And someone said, you believe that? Because, Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. She said, well, if he's God, he can do anything. I mean, once you get that problem, once you accept that premise, then you're ahead.
No, I agree. The danger is, and I've seen devotees do this, I think you have too, is that once you start trying to explain what God is, even if it's by appeal to scripture or revelation, you're committing yourself to certain things. And if you do it poorly and someone says, well, this doesn't make sense, and you just say, oh, well, God's beyond words, that's a kind of dishonesty.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge, it seems to me, is having a principled way to say, here's how we explain God, and yet we understand clearly that so much of this is beyond our conceptions right now in a way where it's a kind of clear, holistic way.
Where it's reasonable to be beyond our conceptions, God.
Yeah. But thanks, Marge. I really think that...
Okay, great. Thank you.
Do I have time for the second one, or would you rather I...
Give me another question. It's okay.
I was wondering about the relationship between Srimati Radharani and Krishna and, the goddess or Devi as revealed in this world. And do you think, is this the right way to understand it, that just as Lord Shiva is Bhagavan, is the Lord, is God himself, but particularly understood in relation to this world, so also the various forms of Devi are kind of like reflections of Radharani as understood in relation to this world?
I think it's more like... there's Krishna, and then there's Vishnu, and there's Narayan. It's the same person, but not, but manifest in a different way. So I'm not sure it's the Shiva is something transformed. Maybe it's that one. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it. But Lord Shiva is, the yogurt milk thing,
mm-hmm.
where it's actually become something different. It never can be it's something different. Yogurt and milk is something different. Yogurt can never become milk. But Vishnu is Krishna. It's just not fully manifest. It's just like it's the same person in the high court judge. It's the same person at home, but in one part, the full qualities are not manifest. As far as I understand from the Jiva Dharma, and I'd have to look it up, I don't have it with me, is that these are just expansions of Radharani.
the different shaktis in this world, you're saying?
That Durga is Radharani in this world. It's just an expansion of Radharani. It's the same potency, just a lesser revelation of it, or something like that. But of course, touching the material world, maybe there's some kind of transformation. But I never thought it in terms of the same relationship that Shiva has to Krishna.
I guess what's motivating my thinking like this is just that Lord Shiva directly enjoys Durga and Parvati. They're almost like his Shakti. And that's why I thought the reflection that
I'll look it up. You know, I can't find my Jiva Dharma, but there's a whole section on that.
Okay.
I really need to look that up. There's a whole section on Shakti Tattva. Be nice. If I could find it, I would just read Shakti Tattva and we can analyze it. I'm not sure.
I think it's not just philosophical, too. I mean, I think that the more that we become engaged with other Indian traditions, which I think we are, because when we get involved in yoga and stuff like that, it would be nice to be able to relate to these divinities in the right mood, where we're not just like, you know, some cheap fanatical way dismissing them as often.
Well, no, I mean, the second offense is to consider the demigods equal or independent to Lord Vishnu, and that cuts two ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is to think of them, one is to think that they're the same, and one offense is to think that they're different. To think of them as equal or independent. So to think of them as independent means to think of them as different. You know, to think of Lord Shiva as different. But, you know, it's the same reality. It's just manifest in a different way. Of course, there's a slight difference. But Shiva is also Bhagavan. So you can't disrespect the demigods. Even when Krishna disrespected, when Mother Yasoda respected Lord Shiva, Krishna was not happy. So yeah, I mean, when I first came to India, you know, you have such a simple, you don't have some bandhagyan. You don't have really balanced knowledge. So, you know, we're just hearing it, you know, the worship of demigods, it's so bad, this, you know. And then I don't know how many offenses I walked by like a Durga temple and like kind of have some enmity towards Durga or Lord Shiva or, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's not the philosophy. Their worship. I don't have that now. You know, it's just the way people see them. They see them as the supreme when they're not.
Mm. And like, for example, you're going to Eddie Stern's place.
I'm going on Thursday. I was going to go today, but I just figured, you know, trying to give class in the car.
Yeah, that's too
much. And then trying to park there, and then I have to, you know, whenever it's finished, I have to leave by 2 and go to the next place.
Mm.
It's just too exhausting. Traveling makes a man old.
So what came to my mind is just that he has this beautiful Ganesh deity. That in one sense, you might think at first we're not, how do we relate to Ganesh? But it struck me that the gopis themselves prayed to Ganesh for Krishna. You know, and so it's kind of like an interesting way to meditate on Ganesh's glory. Thank you, though, Maharaj.
Thank you. All I have time now, because I actually have to go on to the next activity, is if anybody would like to say hello, it would be really wonderful to hear from you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, I'm the Dulao. I go. I'll be in Washington next weekend. I'll let you know.
Okay, Maharaj, please.
Okay, here we go. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, I'm here.
Thank you
for coming on.
And thank you
so much.
Speaking of
Thank you. And it was so nice. You get so many nice visitors. Mahatma
yes,
Jonathan stayed
wonderful.
There, right?
Yes,
yeah.
It's absolutely wonderful. Thank you for thinking about me.
Well, it's so nice that people could stay by your place. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hi, Bo. Is that Stella from Iowa?
Stella and Carl.
Thank you. So nice to hear from you. Thank you for coming on.
For a great class, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Well, it's always nice to speak about Radha, isn't it?
Nice.
Yeah, sweetness. Thank you. Great to hear from both of you. I'll be with your friend Henry next weekend. Who's that?
This is Rasikya.
Who's this?
Rasikya from Austin.
Oh, Hare Krishna. We're having a lot of Rasikya now.
Yeah, really.
A lot of understanding. The Russ is flowing here from different parts of the country. This is, we're all exchanging Russ because there's so much affection between everyone. That's great.
Yeah, and it was so nice to get some meditations to prepare for Radhastami.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So that's, I really appreciated that. Thank you.
And it's nice you have some nice more devotees there to share it with you, too. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lalita Madhava. Please accept my obeisances.
Hey, Lalita. Hello. Thank you. You're starting to come on regularly now, or at least I'm hearing you. Thank you
so much.
Great. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry, Hare Krishna. Soon I will be with you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Eka Chakra, also in Austin.
Eka Chakra from Austin. Okay, you're a Texan now.
Yeah.
From Maine to Texas.
Mahamuni and Rasikya, so.
Oh, that's the right place. That's great. Uh-oh, we're getting so much Rasa today. Is that Mother Indrani?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you for...
Thank you for flooding our lines with your love.
Thank you, Bill. I'll be remembered. Thank you so much. Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. It's just people love Radha in our movement. It's just what we should speak more about it. Anybody else? Maybe I'll speak next week, too. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I'll take you up on that offer.
I knew you'd jump on it. Just one slip of the tongue, Gail. You're ruthless. I got to be real careful with you around, right? I was thinking maybe I'm not going to do that now, but now I'm bound because Gail heard that. And I couldn't even get out of it. You didn't even let me, like, correct, well, maybe I won't do it.
No way.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Great. Thank you all. This is fun. I'm glad I didn't give this class and drive at the same time. Nanchakopa Tudyas Chakra Pasindu Vedas Chakra.